particular month, and I'll talk about the different things which I believe the Lord would like us to touch on. But in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt find thy way, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I want to give you some thoughts about this particular verse first. Number one, this verse is given before Joshua goes into battle. Joshua was a commander of God's people, and the conquest of Canaan was the plan of God. The conquest of Canaan was to be a military work. Joshua and his the nation of Israel's job in God's plan was to go in to conquer Canaan. It's going to require planning. It's going to require organization. It's going to require thinking. It's going to require a lot of effort. And it's going to require a lot of energy and physical work. And this is the way the world executes the work. Or it executes their plan. They will have their military commanders, and they will have their military plans. But listen to this. But when God calls on a Christian to do a work for Him, He is not interested in human philosophy.
Right.
Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 8 verse 9, "The wise men are ashamed and they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" There is no wisdom apart from the word of God. And when we do God's work, God says it must be my wisdom. God is also not interested in men's opinions to do God's work.
Right.
The Bible says, Proverbs 3 verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not." The word lean means to incline towards your own understanding. And the reason why I have to bring this up right now, after I'll touch on another thing, is because the work of God has been done with men's opinions and men's mind many times, and we need to be very careful. When God asks us to do a work for Him, it must be done according to His word. The Bible teaches us in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law refers to the first five books of Moses that Joshua has, at least at that time. It was Moses left behind for Joshua. God left behind, through Moses, the law at that time. And as God said, Moses is gone now, Joshua, these first five books will not depart out of your mouth. That means the word of God, listen, must be continually be spoken, discussed by Joshua. And the word of God must be so familiar to Joshua that it literally spills out of Joshua every time he speaks. You know, one of the things in the conversation of Christians today, in the time that we have so much technology to learn God's word, that every time we come in a social setting, I want us to take note, how much of God's word do we discuss? But yet God says, "Joshua, as you go in to take the land of promise, the fighting strategy, it's not your military plans. It's my word. And it's my word." How is it to be done? Joshua, you are to meditate upon it day and night. The word day and night implies a daily searching after the word of God. Listen to me. It is not a searching after men's philosophies or men's teachings. There are many people who depend on commentaries more than the word of God. You need to be very careful on that. There are a lot of people who say, "Oh, so and so teaches this." But we need to see what God says in His Word Himself. And I will show you later on that there is a saying in Christianity today that is not consistent with God's Word. And yet, thousands upon thousands of churches are actually using that. But as we go here, God says, "Joshua, you are to meditate upon my Word day and night." That implies a daily searching of God in the morning. It implies that Joshua is to spend time in the morning to think on God's Word. Nighttime, it implies that Joshua is to spend time at night as he closed the day to reflect on God's word. And every time in between, Joshua day and night means that God's word has to be the very principle that governs your thoughts, your actions, your decisions, and everything that you can ever think about or say to someone else. Every decision you make must be determined by the word of God. In other words, the word of God must be constantly, continually, and consistently with Joshua. Joshua must have God's word. Can I say this? If we ever want to do a work for God, we must know the word of God if we ever want to be successful. And notice, You will meditate upon my word day and night, Joshua, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. And the human philosophy that I see many times in churches right now, I want to say something, one statement, and I hope that you will listen carefully. You will find it said by many so-called churches today. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Alright? Now, I agree with the last part. In all things, God says all things are to be done charitably. But do you know there's a problem? Do you know who said this? Do you know who's the author of this particular phrase that has been used all over the world today? There are two particular stories as to where this originated. It apparently first originated in 1617 by this man called Marco Antonio de Dominis in the anti-Rome days. And it was used by a German Lutheran theologian as well. And this saying was popularized by a Protestant pastor, Richard Baxter. Okay, Richard Baxter, how many of you heard Richard Baxter? Some of you may have, he's a reformer in 1679. It was also apparently first spoken by St. Augustine, a Roman Catholic monk. And those who know a little bit of the background of St. Augustine, you will find out that he was an apologetics person, meaning that he's not very apologetic as in always saying sorry. He was defending the faith on the Roman Catholic Church, and apparently he became a Christian and he started using, but it was a confusion. Alright, whether some people say he's a Christian, some people say he is not. You know, one of the interesting things is, as this began to go on, I want to read a particular, I was reading a book, and I just read a quote here, alright? You listen to this particular person. Baptism is baptismo in Greek, and mersio in Latin. And it means to plunge something completely into the water so that the water covers it. Although in many places it is no longer customary to thrust and dip infants into the font, but only with the hand to pour the baptismal water upon them out of the font. Nevertheless, the former is what should be done. What this person is saying, that the word baptize means to immerse. Okay? And that was originally the plan in the Bible. But you know, it's okay nowadays. You know, it's customary, I know. But you know, the former should be done. You know who said this? Martin Luther. Can I share with you another quote? Whether a person baptized is to be wholly immersed, and that whether once or three times, or whether he only to be sprinkled with water, is not of the least consequence. Churches should be at liberty to adopt either, according to the diversity of climates. Although, it is evident that the term baptized means to immerse, and that this was the form used by the primitive church. Do you know who said this? This quote is found in Calvin's Institute of Religions. Why did I say that? Let me have the Lord Jesus Christ answer these two persons. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Matthew 5 verse 18. Notice what Jesus said. He said, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Look at verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." Sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't very happy with those two quotes. Can I say this? Who is the judge of the things that are essential or non-essential in the Bible? Man or God? As far as I can know, the Word of God is more important than his name. Did you know that? Let's turn to Psalm 138. I'll show you. The word of God is more important than the name of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, Bible says that God has given Jesus a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But let's turn to Psalm 138 and verse 2. And I will give you God's estimation of His non-essential words. The Bible says, Psalm 138 and verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Looks like God's word is more important than His name. Does it make sense? So when we hold in estimation as we do God's work, certain things can be done, certain things cannot be done. Who is the judge when God has exalted His name, His word, above all, also above His name? And when Jesus said, if anyone teach, break one of these least, even the smallest thing that you would exclude from my word, and you teach someone else the same, you know what God says? That person will be called least in my kingdom. That's what Jesus said. You take up the argument with God. I want to say that very clearly because in fruit bearing within the local church, God gave Joshua that this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that's written therein. Sounds like obedience is the number one thing that God is looking for in doing His work. It is not about following a church rules. It's about following God's rules. Now, where do I find this? That God, I have to listen to every word. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Some of the things that you decide to be important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by a buffet spread. You can choose whatever you want to obey. No. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. Every word of God. And I can tell you that that's the most important thing in God's mind. I teach my children all the time. You know, if you don't learn anything, learn this thing from Papa. To God, obedience is primary. Because disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. And the penalty is death by stoning. So, churches today, even Ambassador Baptist Church, we need to stay close, not to man's words, but to God's word. Because that is the power behind Joshua as he goes into the promised land. Now, can I say this? I was thinking of this morning actually. And God, do you know, who did God give this promise to? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Who could God give the promise to? To Joshua. Right? Did you realize one thing? That God blessed the entire nation of Israel because Joshua obeyed God. Because in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua had still to put a challenge to the children of Israel. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Because of one man, many people will be blessed. Because of one man's obedience, many people will be blessed. For Brother Jay, as he obeyed God's call, thousands of monks will get to hear the gospel. Amen? Now, brother, that's precious to me. But can I say this? What is that relevant to the church? How is it relevant to the church? Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 14. God blessed the entire nation of Israel because of Joshua's obedience. But in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, moving on to the New Testament, you will find that this principle is consistent throughout, from the old to the new. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, Jesus had just spent the whole night in prayer. And Jesus, after that, the Bible says, He ordained, appointed 12, that they should be with Him, and that He might send them forth to preach. You know, many times, we say, oh, God called the 12, and He sent them forth to preach, but we miss the middle part. What's the middle part? And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. They should be with him. What does that mean? Did you realize that in order for you to do God's work, Ambassador Baptist Church as a whole church, we need to be with God.
Right. Amen.
We need to be spending time in prayer, knowing what God's will is. You know, one of the things in my heart is that we don't go into ministry and just kind of just do the work. You know, one of the things that we don't have in terms of eternal fruit is perhaps we need to spend more time with God. Sounds like this particular passage is consistent with what God taught Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Can I perhaps share humbly what God has blessed Ambassador with? One of the principles I hold very dearly, and many of the workers know this, every time there's a church gathering, there must be the Word of God. There must be the Word of God. If I'm not there, I'll print a message and let the leader at least read the message. And I believe that over the years, God has blessed Ambassador Baptist Church because we stood close to this Word. I've learned firsthand that it is not what we plan, it is not what we think we are doing, but it's obedience to God's Word. If you are going out, God will bring the person in because we're obedient. If we give, God is going to be obedient. God is going to bless us. And you know what? It was only 2 weeks ago that this verse dawned on me. That you know what? It's not so much what we plan. You know the blessing that we have? You know, those church members and those people who have been with us since August of last year, our vision is to reach the north for Christ. 750,000 people. The north. Sembawang, Yishun, Woodlands, Marsiling. And you know, we had that vision last year. And when I said it, I can tell you I was terrified. But God, how in the world is this? I will tell you my heart, Lord, is this your will? When I spoke the vision, God, you put that in my heart, and you will see in our bulletin every week to win the North for Christ, 1,000 souls in 5 years. And I was thinking to God, God, it's so hard. But when we said this, you know what God did? As we obeyed and we keep on doing what God wanted us to do, do you realize I was calculating, you know how many families we have reached ever since we started tracking? Do you know how many we've reached? 75,000. Families have received a tract in their home. Statistically, that's a lot. But at least the gospel is being sold. People know us by the van that travels because our name is on there. But you know, there's still more work to be done. But you know, when God confirmed us, when God gave us this place in Woodlands 11, it was $350,000 above our budget. You know what? You know what God is saying? I'm endorsing this vision that you have. You know, Brother Jay was sharing about how in the book of Esther today, you don't find the name of God. And sometimes you don't even know so-called what God is doing. But I don't know about you. I can see the effects. God is confirming this will. But you know what? We need to be obedient to God's word 100%. 100%. And the Lord Jesus Christ, after he ordained the 12, he said, you are to be with me, and then I will send you forth. This is a vital principle within this simple verse. They should be with Christ. Let's look at John chapter 15. I want to show you 5 things. How do we bear fruit as a Christian? I think it's very straightforward. But you know, we need to look at what Jesus himself said. In the book of John, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the most comprehensive statement of fruitful Christian living. Can I ask you a question today? Do you realize if you and I are fruitful as Christians, Singapore would have been won a long time ago?
Yep.
Do you realize we have over 600 churches in a small place of 700 kilometers square? 600 over churches, not counting people in industrial estates, like us next time. Not counting churches or small homes. We have over 600 churches in Singapore. Question, why aren't Singapore a Christian nation today? Think about that for a while. Our population has grown because of foreign talent, foreign workers. We have over 600 churches. We have two or three mega churches, more than 10,000 in membership. Why aren't Singapore a Christian nation today? You know why? Because we have not followed this.
Right. Amen.
I say this humbly. If every member of parliament who are Christian would stand for the truth. Oh, we're going to have a riot in our hands, I know. I'm not here to incite anything. This can be taken against me. I think you know that. But when we obey God, the apostles went to jail for their faith. I believe we have to be careful. Our goal is not to incite division. But can I challenge individual? We may not be able to change from top down. But you know what is Jesus' way? His change is from bottom up. Think about that for a while. Who were the people who turned the world upside down in the first century? Was it the religious leaders? Was it the religious leaders? It was fishermen. It was fishermen. And I believe in John chapter 15, as Jesus told the disciples, look, I'm going to go. But this is your principle for fruitfulness. I want to highlight five things. How do we bear fruit in our life? Number one, we need to be in the true vine. We need to be in the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. It's interesting, isn't it? What's the first two words? I am. Significant, isn't it? Who's I am? Yahweh. I am not just a vine, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. There is no other life-giving force in this world except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear, the word of God, the word of Him who speaks from heaven. Jesus said, I am the true vine. There is only one Savior. Can I ask you a question? Are you in the true vine? You know, if you're here today, you claim to be a Christian, but are you a true vine? In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The word examine means to test objectively. In other words, it's not what you feel. It's not what church you go to. It's not what affiliation you have. You need to test objectively from where? From God's word. Are you a Christian? Am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? The word examine means to test objectively. Prove yourself. The word prove yourself means to test yourselves. You need to test yourselves. Now what is the test? Let's look at 1 John. I'll give you 7 tests so that immediately you can have a checklist. Am I a Christian according to God's estimation? You know why I highlight this? I share with you before, I share it again and again. I'm concerned that people will go to the Ambassador Baptist Church, sit under the preaching week after week, die and go to hell, without ever understanding what is a true believer. I give you 7 tests from 1 John very quickly. Test number 1. Are we continuously participating in some sin? Look at chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, verse 6. My writing is there. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's John's way of saying, if you say that you are walking in the light, but there is a continuous participation in private sin in your life, it could be pornography on the internet, it could be stealing on the side, it could be white lies, it could be anything, and you find nothing wrong, or it could be drinking, it could be certain things that you know is wrong, but what is okay? What? No, it's not part and parcel of life. You know, I come to church, I give my offering. If you participate in secret sin in your life and you find nothing wrong with that, it could be the Holy Spirit is not disturbing you. You know why? He's not there. Number one, test number one, are you participating in some sin? Number two, am I obedient to the Word of God? In chapter 2 and verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. It is absolutely incomprehensible for a Christian not to obey God. Because God says, if you say you're a Christian, you obey me. If you're a Christian, you obey me. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Number three, do you hate anyone in your life? Is there someone in your life that you absolutely detest and wish he was dead? You look at chapter 2 and verse 9. He that saith is in the light and hateth his brother, John is very clear, is in darkness even until now. You know, you cannot say you hate a brother. I have had Christians telling me, oh, I hate this person. You know what? You cannot be a Christian and hate. Because God is love. And if God lives in us, how can we hate? I'm not saying that you may not get irritated at someone. I'm not saying that. Because we have to be God to be like that. But you know what? To actually say, I hate, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says the mouth speaks. If you hate your brother, the Bible says it's a strong evidence that you may not be a Christian. Point number four, John 2:15. Do I love this world more than I love God? If the things of this world take up more of my time, the Bible says what? Love not the world, neither the things of that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what? That's John's way of saying, if you really love God, the things of this world, the money and the career so much so that you have no time for church, no time to do God's will, no time to be baptized, no time to follow the Lord. I was speaking to a primary six going to secondary one individual. And when he was primary six, he said, Brother Johnny, I want to be baptized. He said, okay, when you go to sec one, we'll see about that. Because I know once he hits sec one, there'll be so many responsibilities. He will be going to shake in his, and true enough, in January, the first service, he came to me, Brother Johnny, I don't think I have time to be baptized. It's okay, baptism is only 1 hour. It doesn't take a long time. But see what he was saying, I don't want to be baptized because I don't want to be committed to Christ.
Yeah.
Today, he's no longer in church. When we started the mission, I told him, look, when you follow Christ, there must be commitments. And no, not really. Today, he's just doing what he wants. You know, we can be in the church, in the Christian, doing what we want to. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You need to be very, very careful. But the Bible says, if you love the world more than you love Christ, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. Number five, you look at 2:23. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. There are many cults today. There are many so-called religions today that say Jesus is not Christ. He's not the Messiah. All they say, Jesus is Christ plus the church. Jesus is Christ plus this and this and this and this. In Singapore, there's this, I can't remember the name now, there's this religion that has combination of all five, it's a combination of five religions and say, well, there's this council, and there's Buddha, there's Jesus, there's in this council, and everyone goes to the same place, kind of thing, in Singapore. The Bible says, if you deny that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, the Son of God, you're not saved. That's what the Bible says. You're Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. Test number six. Do you love God's people? Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I've heard Christians telling me, I prefer my non-believing friends than my Christians. That cannot be. That's inconsistent with the Bible. That's inconsistent with the Bible. But Brother Johnny, don't be so dogmatic. One day, God is going to judge us with this open book.
Right.
Did you know that? Remember in Revelation 22 through 20, when the great, at the throne judgment, you know what books will be open? One of the, they said many books will be open. Of course, there's a book of life. But you know, Jesus said that one day this book will be our judge in the last day. Did you know that? You know what? And sometimes we take exams, right? You know God is fair? God gave you the textbook and all the answers first.
Yep.
He's a practical one. It's a practical test. Have I been doing this? Do we love the brethren? Do you realize? I'm not talking about church as a religious organization. Church is an assembly of people saved by God's grace, who knows that God is your Savior and that wants to do God's will. Does it make sense? It's not a building. Do you realize I also told God this? God, we can operate without a building. But we can certainly be a little bit more effective if we do that. We need to be loving the brethren. And a Christian is an overcomer. Look at 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 verse 4. 5 verse 4. For whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. But Brother Johnny, I can never overcome my angry spirit. Maybe you haven't done anything about that. But do you realize that if you keep saying that I cannot overcome, I cannot overcome, I cannot overcome, I cannot overcome, for 10 years you have the same problem, same problem, same problem, same problem, same problem. The Bible says if you are a Christian, you can overcome. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not through your own strength, but through Christ. But dear friends, are you in the true vine? Are you in the true vine? Are you in the true vine? The Bible says, ye shall know them by their fruits. God has not called us to be judges, God has called us to be fruit inspectors. As a pastor, I do not stand judge over your soul, God does. But I certainly can give you signpostings. I can certainly tell you your fruit.
Right. Amen.
And that you need to get back to the Word of God. Bring forth fruits, therefore meet for repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Number 1, we need to be in the true vine to bear fruit. Number 2, look at John chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth forth not fruit, he taketh away. We need to understand, number 2, in fruit bearing, that we can be fruitless as a Christian. Some people will say, Brother Johnny, that's not true. If you're a Christian, there's life, there should be fruit. But you know what? I thought about that before. I thought, Lord, if there's life in us, if your life is in us, then there must be fruit. But what did Jesus say? Every branch in me.
Yep.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So it is possible that a Christian can be an empty shell for God. Or he'll still go to heaven, but he'll be an empty shell for God. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 21 verse 19, the example is there. The Bible says, Jesus said he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Number one, what tree did Jesus see? A fig tree, right? Was there fruit? It wasn't. There was no fruit. So what did Jesus say? Well, remove that. Is he still a fig tree? He's no longer there because God got rid of it. But is it still a fig tree? Yes, he is. It's still a fig tree. Although there's no fruit. Can I say this, Christian? You must understand that as a Christian, you can be without fruit. Oh, man, it's okay then. I'll just be a Christian without fruit. I'll go to heaven and everything will be fine, right? No. That is not God's will. Listen carefully. It is not God's will for a Christian to be without fruit.
Right.
It is never God's will that a Christian continue in his life without fruit. I've spoken to people and I've seen their lives over years. They don't do anything for God. All they say is trust God. And I say this again, faith without works is dead. It could be an evidence that there is no life. You know why I'm so passionate about this? Because I'm afraid people will die and go to hell because they think they're Christians, but they have no fruit to show. Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits.
Right.
Christian, we need to do something. Number 3. We need to understand this truth. To bear fruit, God purges us that we might bear more fruit. John chapter 15 verse 2. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Purging is painful, right? I know of people in this congregation, I know of people who say, Brother Johnny, I'm going to serve God. But no, after I serve God, there's going to be pain. There's trials. And things got worse. And there's a saying that says, see, that, you know why the person got so much trouble in life now? Because he started serving God. Can I say this? As a church, we have gone through much as well. For me and my family, we've gone through much. But you know what? Can I say an encouraging thing? If you go through much because you serve God, you're on the right track. Because someone's trying to stop you.
Right.
Amen. Rajay, Sister Heidi, as they go to the land of Thailand, I'm sure they put up with a lot of inconveniences. But you know what? That's God's will. Who says God's will be convenient? Was it convenient for Jesus to die on the cross? Huh? The moment Jesus was born, he was already suffering inconvenience. Now we sit here in air-conditioned comfort, right? Our believers in Nepal, where do they sit on? Even the adults sit on the floor.
Yep.
I don't think I saw fans in Brother Klaus' photographs. And all we complain over the littlest thing. People will walk 4 hours to go to church. And we don't go to church because Mr. Bus. We need to understand to bear fruit, God purges us. Purging is painful, it involves the trials of life. Some of you were bearing fruit before, but the things of this world, the tests, the trials, the pains of life, the opposition to your faith and your trust in God, the tests, although sent by God, you have given up. Can I say this? Jesus says, every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. I'm going to give you the point, then I'm going to tie it up how it relates to us as church members. Remember, Christian, if you are bearing fruit, if you are serving the Lord, and you are moving forward, God will give us more tests so that we can grow. There is no growth without stress. In biological terms, you know how, I think it was yesterday, I think Auntie Janet or someone was carrying little Ruth. You know little Ruth? She's about, what, how many months now? 6 months? Is it? 8 months? I can't remember how. Our grandfather? Sure? 6 months. Okay. You know these babies, when about 6 months, 8 months, they always like to do this? They always like to do this? You know what they're doing? You know this, when the little children walk, their legs are bowed, kind of like this? Then over time, it begins to straighten. Do you know what they're doing? If you know anything about biology, we have what we call growth plates at the corner of our bones. Those growth plates are stimulated by pressure. You know what Ruth was doing when she does this? I cannot do this because I got broke on my knees. I just went for operation 2 years ago, so I got to do a bit easy. I can't grow. Yeah, no, thank you, brother. I'm going home, you know. When little Ruth does this, he's adding stress to stimulate the growth at the growth plates. You don't believe me? Go read your biology books. All right? You know, and as he begins to grow, what happens is that the muscles around will be stimulated to support their joint too. So over time, at 2 years old, you find that children, like, we can walk pretty straight, you know, unless you have rickets or some deficiency, you have your bow legs. I said this before a few months ago, there's no growth in the ambassador without stress. You cannot expect to stay in your comfort zone and grow. You know what we'll do? We stay in our comfort zone, we grow fat. Yep. Huh? You need to grow. Jesus said, every fruit, every branch that beareth fruit, I will purge. Because God says, in order for you to grow in the right direction, I will cut out those parts that will stop you from growth. And some of you, that's why when you come to church, why is pastor preaching about that again? I don't know about your life, in the sense that when I prepare messages, I don't target people, alright? But if God speaks to you, it could be something that God is speaking to you about. Because God knows your heart, I don't. I'm just preaching what He said. Jesus said, if there's trials in your life and you find it repetitive again and again, you know what? It could be God is getting your attention. I need you to get rid of that. Or I need you to strengthen that. I need you to pull away from that. I need you to give up that friend. I need to give up that. I need you to give. Or I need you to put a little bit more emphasis in this. I need to go to the mission field. I need to surrender this. I need to resign from here. I need to be more faithful. I need to give. I need to do something with your life. But you know what some of us will do? No. To bear fruit, God will give us more tests. It's interesting. Every master or boss who wants to promote their employee will give them more work to do. Not to punish them, but to prove them. Agree? All those in employment, I was told by one employer one time, there was one person who came to him and said, look, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that, and my family is suffering because of that. Say, okay, fine, I'll give you more time. But you know the consequence, if I give you more time, your family means you have less responsibility, but means your promotion will be affected also. That's how it works. The Bible says promotion cometh not from the east or the west, but from God. When God wants to promote us, He sends stress to test us. If we fail that test there, you know what God does? Let's try it again. Because God knows what is best for you. Christian, are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? Point number four. Look at verse 4 and 5. We need to understand that to bear fruit, we need to abide in Christ. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. O Christian, stamp that in your head. If you ever want to grow in Christ, if you ever want to do something for God, remember this. Without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. Jesus didn't say, if you don't follow my words completely. He said, without me. Because you see, Christianity is not a religion, it's a person.
Right.
Jesus Christ. And when you love the living word, you will love his written word.
Right.
Huh? I remember when me and my wife was communicating before, I still have her letters. You know? She wasn't with me. I wrote to her. I was in Australia. She was in Singapore. So I wrote to her. Standard. When I send, standard. 10 days it will reach me. You know why? I calculated the amount of time it takes from Australia to reach Singapore. And the time she wrote to send back. It's standard 10 days to 14 days. Alright? Standard one. Because I know the moment I write the letter and reach her, she will start writing and send back. Alright? And we went out for about 1 or 2 years. So I collected the letters. So sometimes she's not there. I just read the letters. Why? Because I love her, and therefore her words are encouragement to me. Let me ask you a question. Do you have that vital relationship with Christ? That even though He is absent now, by the way, He's not absent. God says He's going to give us another comforter. The word another means what? Another of the same kind, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Christ? The same way you love the things of this world. How much time did you spend with Christ? You know, Christ is the source of our spiritual fruitfulness. Christ is the source of our spiritual fruitfulness. And he gave the illustration that as a sap comes from the root through the trunks into the individual branches, the branches itself up here has no provision for its own nutrition. Agree? It has to come from the root. And Jesus says, I am the root, I am the true vine, I am the vine. And if you will abide in me, but if I can pluck off this one, this artificial flower, so I cannot pluck. Alright? But if it is, I can pluck it off, and that one cuts off. The nutrition doesn't go there, he'll die, right? You turn brown, you decay. And unfortunately, I think some of us as Christians, we are decaying. When I was in the rehab department, I was an occupational therapist. I've seen a girl, she's 2 years old, she's very smart. Her IQ is about 130. Okay? She has five fingers, but her thumb is a stump. You know what's a stump? Meaning that it's pink, it's nice, but it's lifeless. It's just kind of like a stump. Alright? What has happened is that when the thumb grew, the nerves didn't engage into the thumb, meaning that we can do this, right? If you do this, we can move the thumb, right? Because it's independent, I can just control. She can't because the nerves doesn't go there. And so what the doctor is planning to do is to cut this off, break this, and turn this index finger around so that, because you see, the thumb's function is to oppose. Do you know that you cannot actually hold your pencil without your thumb? Try. You can do it this way. Try. Children, do you know that without your thumb, you cannot? Huh? Do you realize that? You know how important is each member in the body of Christ? Huh? Just because of one thumb, you cannot hold, you cannot use chopsticks. Poor thing, Asians. Huh? Yeah, probably know that you can use your fork and all that, but you know what? Some people still prefer the chopstick. You cannot use your chopstick without your thumb. And so what you're going to do is to break this and turn this around so that it works as a thumb. Does that make sense? To oppose as a thumb. But you know what? If there is no surgery done to this particular one, this thumb will just be lifeless. Just be hanging around. How many of you in the Philippines, I think you know, the man with seven legs, is it? You know, in the Philippines, there's this, what's his name? I cannot remember. The Octopus Man, thank you. Have you seen an Octopus Man? Literally, he has seven limbs. Literally, seven limbs. And apparently, he was seven limbs because he was a freak of nature. He had a twin brother who died, but the limbs was already grown. And so he hang around for 50 years with the seven limbs, and he made a lot of money as an exhibit. But you know what? To carry the extra weight, seven limbs, you know, at the end, about 50 years old, the doctors are trying to do something to save him. He felt so attached to his twin brother who was dead, but with the limbs alive. And the doctor said, if I were to do the surgery, your heart can stop because you may not be able to take the pressure of the operation. How many of you Christians are carrying dead parts in your life? You know what? We need to abide in Christ so that we can have the life of Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Christians, take note of this. This is the same thing God told Joshua. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Can I say that again? This is the same words God told Joshua. If ye abide in me and my words, not the commentator's words, not my church leader's words, not my so-called church founding father's words, but my words, because God has no grandchildren. Children, you need personally to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You cannot stand at the judgment seat and say, God, my dad was a pastor, so you should allow me into heaven. You know what God said? Sorry, you didn't apply for visa. Huh?
Right.
Isn't that true? My children cannot go in because of my visa, they're going because of their own. Children, please. Not because you're born in a Christian family, think you're Christians. You need to become a Christian. You need to trust Christ. I'm helping parents here. Parents, you need to set the example of Christ-likeness for your children so that when they look at your life, they say, if that is what Christ is like, I want to be a Christian because my mom and my dad is the sweetest people. Yeah, they discipline me. Yeah, they tell me to do right. Yeah, I don't like them when they nag at me, but you know what? I know they're right. And children, you all usually know mom and dad is right, right? Huh? Put up your hand, you agree with me. Sure? Only one? Only two? Some more? Three? Mark, go on straight away. Alright, those children who didn't put out a hand, your parents will need to deal with you. I'm just kidding. But you know what, parents, we need to show Christ-likeness. You know how to be Christ-like? We need to have God's Word in our hearts.
Right.
Not just here. Not just here. I shared with you before when I did Bible knowledge at A-level. My teacher would scold me for trying to preach in my assignments. Because my teacher in my university, St. Andrew's Junior College, reminded me, when you write your answers, you are not writing to preachers, you are writing to scholars of the Bible who are not Christians. And they are looking for facts, they are not looking to be preached at. Does it make sense? But you know what? We can have the Word of God here. But if it doesn't come down to here, it's of no use. Hebrews 4 verse 1 said, the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith. And dear friends, you can have intellectual understanding of God's word, but if you don't believe, it will do you no good. Karl Marx can actually recite Matthew, Mark, Luke, John by heart. He died and went to hell. Judas Iscariot was in the ministry, died and went to hell. You don't think he knows what Jesus said? But dear friends, if you don't trust Christ, if you're not abiding in Christ, to abide in Christ means, that means the word of Christ is our delight, it is our love, it is our joy, we rejoice to think on it, we memorize it, we meditate upon it. The word of God is in us constantly, it is in our thinking, it is our guide, it is our counselor, it determines our decisions, it governs our thinking and every action. The word of God literally spills out of our lives, every next sentence, everything you do is connected and interconnected with the principles of God's word. Now, I'm concerned because we are living sometimes by the seven habits of what we call it, of highly effective people at Stephen Covey. We are living by other principles like Anthony Robbins or Baskin Robbins. Is it Anthony Robbins, right? No, it's not Baskin, Anthony Robbins. We are living by these motivational speakers, but when God says we are to follow Him as Christians, there are Christians who would rather go for motivational speech than come to church and hear God's word. Jesus said, if you want to have fruit in your life, You need to be in His Word. But you know why people go to inspirational writings and inspirational people? Because the fruit they want in their life is not the fruit that God wants them to have. Their priorities are different. Question for you. Where is our priority? Is Christ our love? Or has we left our first love? The power of Christ is in our lives. It is dependent on how much of God's Word is in us. Did you know that? There are many sincere people doing the work of God out there. But you know what Paul says of them? Romans chapter 10, they are sincerely wrong. Their zeal is not according to knowledge. And I'm sure perhaps right now in Laos, the people trying to do the work, you know, with no preacher, just tell them whatever comes to their mind. But you know what? The zeal is not according to knowledge. Dear friends, some of us, I'm just going to say this. Some of us are going to remain the same as Christians for the next 10 years, 5 years. You know, as your pastor, I carry the heavy burden as a pastor to see Christians not growing. I know I cannot force you to do things. I pray for you. I preach hard. But is there faith on your part to trust what God says? Because we spend no time in God's Word, we won't be fruitful. We give excuses why we cannot be in God's Word. We give reasons not to spend time with God in prayer and His Word. We do not come to church when the Word of God is preached. When God prepares a feast, would you not come? Or our personal agenda is more important? Every time there is a meeting in church, you know there will be the Word. And yet how many do not take it to heart that we must be where the Word of God is preached? Do you realize perhaps right now, I don't know whether in Hmong, brother you can correct me, but people die just to go somewhere where the Bible is preached. In China, many people cannot even afford a Bible. I heard an evangelist say, it takes 1 year wages to buy a Bible. And they'll give an entire year's wages just to buy a Bible. We have it everywhere in our house and we don't read it, Christians. No wonder we have no power.
Yep. Right.
Wonder we have no power. We don't take it to heart that we must be where the Word of God is preached. You know why the words of Christ are not as important to us? We say we love Christ. And yet the Lord Jesus invites us to come. You know, one of the most scary things that's happening in our age today can be found in Amos chapter 8 verse 11. I'll read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." If you read the context of this, there comes a time in the nation of Israel when God sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and they won't hear. And God sends a prophet. You know what God says? I'm not just going to send a famine of the Word of God. I'm going to send a famine of the hearing of the words of God. In other words, you can sit in church, but you will never get what God says. Why? Because we have hardened our hearts against God's Word to the point that when God preaches, it's like what we call in Chinese, a pian feng, the wind that passes by the side of my ears. You just, whew. Wow, that was a good message. We had good songs. Song leader was excited. Well, we have a good time. See you next week. And our lives don't change. Oh, I've seen Christians come in and through investor not change. Worse, they go away from God. Why? The word preached was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. You know, there's a New Testament equivalent to that. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Not with all entertainment and magic shows. With all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Please know today, Christian, your fruitfulness is dependent on your abiding in Christ. And abiding in Christ means that His words are deeply embedded in your souls, are deeply put in your souls. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell little bit in your life, richly in your life. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his light is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are you prospering in your Christian life? You know why? Let's nail it down. We don't spend as much time in God's Word as we should. We need to abide in Christ. And I dare say many times when we read our Bibles, please, don't leave Jesus out of your Bible reading. You know you can read your Bible and leave God out? It's kind of like, you read the author, you read a book, and the author is there and say, don't disturb me, I'm reading the book. You know what Jesus wants? Jesus wants to speak to us as we read His Word. Did you know that? Are you in the Word? Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And I want you to notice the secret of the early church power. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Why? And took knowledge of them. What did they found out about them? They were ignorant, they were unlearned, but yet they were bold as lions. And what was their secret? They took note. They had been with Jesus. And Bethel Baptist Church, listen, if we are going to move to the new place, it's not going to be business as usual. We have got to come to a place where we say, Lord, your work is more important. Yes, we need to do our duties in supporting our families. Yes, we need to do our duties in taking care of our young. Yes, we need to do our duties because this is really a God-given. As fathers, you have to lead your families. As fathers, you have to provide for your families. As fathers, you have to do all you can. As mothers, you have to do what you need to do. But what about the rest of your time? What are you focused on? You know what God says in all your activities in your life? Matthew 6:33 ought to be the deciding verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, there's a work to be done. Oh, VBS is here. Oh, do you need help? You know what you do? A person following Christ, I say, if you need help in the VBS, I'll adjust my timetable. Now be there. Because someone needs Christ. Someone needs Christ. Oh, if there's a work to be done, I will do what I can. Can I say this as pastor? I do understand we have busy schedules. And I don't judge anyone on that. But can I challenge you? Is your free time for yourself? Is your free time for yourself? Or is it for the Lord? Is it for God or for yourself? Is your free time for God or for yourself? They took knowledge they had been with Jesus. Number five. Finally, as we understand that we need to be in Christ, we can be fruitless as Christians. We will be purged and put to the test to be more fruitful. And to be fruitful means we need to abide in Christ. Finally, I want us to understand there are rewards of fruitfulness. You know what the rewards? John chapter 15 verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and shall be done unto you. Can I challenge Brother Jay and his sister? When you go to Thailand, stay in God's Word. And whatever you ask, God will give to you. And I believe you are because God had, I read the emails many weeks and months ago. You were praying for a bus for your ministry, right? You got a bus. We were praying. Can I say this before we move here? I say, God give us a permanent place.
Amen.
God, because of me, I wouldn't have $1.14 million. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We need to struggle as we were planning. Oh, wait, we have to move to this new place. It's 2013. We need to move out 2011, October end. God just moved again. Our landlord said we can stay for the next 2 years until we move to the new place. You don't tell me that God is not moving. We are spiritually blind if we do not see God's work. You can have all the arguments against why this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth.
Amen.
Oh yeah, we need a bigger place, yes. But you know what? God answered our prayer again. What else do we want? God has provided everything for us to do His work. What else do we want? You want Christ to come? No, Christ said, I've done my work on the cross. As the Father had sent me, so send I you. In the same way that God sent me to a life of difficulty, to a life of sacrifice, to a life of surrendering, but to a life of answered prayer, to a life of the abiding power of God on my life, to a life of knowing that God is leading me away all the way, to a life that even at the cross no one is with me, God is still with me, to a life that even I have to be separated from God the Father, God says, I'll never leave you. In the same way, Jesus said, John chapter 20, verse 21, even as the Father had sent me, Jesus said to the disciples, even so, in the same way, I send you. As the missionaries that we support go to different places of this world, to don't tell me they don't suffer. I'm intimately aware of how much our missionaries, those people who go to preach the gospel, ought to be first-class citizens in our church. Did you know that? Because they are giving up so much just to do the work. That's my heart, and I hope Ambassador Baptist Church, for the next 58 years, we will have in the new place, we will have that heart. Whoever preaches the gospel, we need to support and honor with all our hearts. Why? Because they are an extension of the things that we cannot do, and God hasn't called us. Christians, you realize that God will answer, if you would abide in God's word, God will answer your prayer. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time God answered your prayer? When was the last time? You know what's my concern? Christians are living Christian lives without answered prayer. You know that God, in John chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, that ye might receive, that your joy might be full. You know why my wife can tell you many answered prayer. She prays every morning. And I believe she prays for you guys too. And how many prayers God has answered in the church, in our lives. When was the last time God answered your prayer? Listen, if all you pray for is for the unholy Trinity, I, me and myself, there comes a time that God says, I'm not going to answer it anymore, because James chapter 4 verse 2 says, ye ask that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. And God says, I'm not going to answer that prayer anymore. Oh, don't presume upon God. How many of you know George Mueller? George Mueller, I think we all know George Mueller, mighty man of God in prayer. Do you realize that every cent he prays for is never for himself? It was for the orphans that he took care of. Sometimes at the highest peak, he took care of over 8,000 orphans. At one time, God provided every single meal, every single need of that orphanage. You know what? In George Mueller, we see a man of God who says, I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for someone else. Do you believe in prayer? Let me ask you. Because Jesus says, if you abide in me, you'll be praying. Did you know that? I'm afraid some of us do not believe in prayer because you do not pray as much as we say we believe in prayer. If you believe in something, you'll do something about it, right? If you believe it. The word believe in the Bible means I believe in something enough to do something about it. Alright? Okay? Now, let's see. Joy? Can you come? You know why she jumped? Because she believed that I'll catch her.
Yep.
I test that on all my children. I'll put them on the van, jump. When they are young, usually they're there. When they get older, they get a little bit jittery. Huh? I believe there's a spiritual parallel there. When we are young as Christians, well, we are on fire for God. We love God. We trust Him. But the more we learn of this world's philosophies, the more we try to understand things from our perspective, we begin to say, hey, let me understand this a bit more. Do you trust Christ? You say you do. The more you trust Him, the more you pray. Did you know that? Do you know how to build faith in your life? Faith cometh by?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you need God's Word. But you know more than that. You need to obey, because John chapter 7, 17 says, if any man will do his will, then he will know of the doctrine. Don't have it upside down. Many people say, Brother Johnny, I'm not going to commit myself until I know everything. God says, you obey first, then I'll teach you.
Right.
You obey first, then I'll teach you. And all of us know, doing is the best teacher. Amen? The more you do, the more you understand. We're not understanding here. We need to understand here. And I was telling Brother Jay, probably, when he goes there, we plan a small mission trip. Get your hands dirty to serve God there and see what God can do in your lives. Do you believe in prayer? Number 2, John chapter 15, verse 8. Hearing that my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You know what? As you bear fruit in your life, you will glorify God the Father. Does our Father, Heavenly Father, deserve our honor and glory? We all know that. Yes, He does. Do you realize the fact you are here? God provided all of you clothing to wear. He provided you your breakfast. Some of you say, Brother Johnny, I haven't had your breakfast. You have enough money for lunch, right? If you don't have, you have the ATM, right? You have everything that you ever need. God gave you life. God gave you everything that you ever need. Don't you think God deserves our honor? Now, how are we to glorify God? What does the Bible say here? That ye bear much fruit. Christians, you're only, I believe with all my heart, when you serve God and you bear fruit, you honor God. You honor God. We cannot say we honor God, but we do zero for Him. And we put our lives as priority. As Brother Jay mentioned just now, in the Sunday school, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? So what if you gather everything in this world? I want you to just stop and think of Jesus' parallel, his equation here. If you will gain everything in this world, in other words, you have Steve Jobs mentioned. Is it Steve Jobs? Founder of Apple. Right? Steve Jobs. Or you have Bill Gates and all the wealth that he has. Okay? And you have all the money of all the soccer players of the English Premier League. Okay? And you have all the property in this world. You know what Jesus says? What does it profit a man? You think about the equation that Jesus is saying. If you have everything that this world ever offers, and yet you lose your soul, what profit is there? You know what, in Jesus, God's estimation, the most important thing in this life? Your soul. Or someone else's soul. 140,000 souls die and go to hell every day. Is that nothing to you? No, we need to do more. There are 750,000 people in the north. And I thank God that on average about 8 people go out tracting, or 10 people go attracting every week. And we have managed to cover 75,000 families in 7 years. And still, there's over 500 blocks. 75 would be about 75, can't remember now. 1 week we do about 2 blocks. 1 year we do about 104 blocks. There's over 750 blocks. You know, I think more than that now, with the government boosting, right? The building growth. Now we need more people. Are we glorifying God? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, very quickly, what's the implication of the church? I'll just summarize it by saying one thing. You read Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 48. You find that as the disciples gave themselves to the word, the offspring, the fruit, was souls being saved. Listen, spiritual growth, it's not, oh, I feel closer to God. Oh, I feel closer to God. Many churches emphasize the feel-good feeling. I didn't find it in the Bible. Sounds like the apostles suffered a lot when he served God, but they were absolutely happy, amen? They glorified God, that they were counted worthy to suffer for Him. The genuine spirituality is, how many souls have you led to Christ? Or how many souls are you intending to bring to Christ? You know, I'll be honest with you, in the past, I tend to be a little bit dubious about this one. But you know what? I believe with all my heart. Jesus said that if you abide in me, the fruit you will bear will be lost souls becoming a Christian. This church has a long way to go. But are we willing to take the first step and say, Lord, I will abide in the true vine. God, I need to bear fruit because you told me to bear fruit. Can I just finish off with this? If every one of us as individuals bear fruit, remember God blessed Joshua for the entire nation? God blessed the entire nation because of Joshua? Can you imagine if God just blessed Brother Timothy because he obeyed God, and Brother Ping Kwang, and then Brother Joshua? If God says, I'm going to bless a group of people because of him, this church will grow. Do you realize God exploded the early church in 6 months? They have 50,000, according to church history books. 50,000 in 6 months. Why? Because of the 120. Is it possible? It's not possible by us. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need to be in Christ. Do you know the secret of fruit bearing now? You need to be in Christ. If you are here today, you're not a Christian. Ambassador Baptist Church exists for two reasons. To tell you about Christ so that you can be saved, and to build a believer. I pray that God will make us all fruitful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a special way. I know. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Jay and Sister Heidi for the fruit of their lives. And thank you, Lord, that you have used them in part to be a blessing to Ambassador Baptist Church. Father, I ask that you would touch our hearts in a special way. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, can I just ask you this question? If you're a Christian today and you say, God, I'm not fruitful. God, the fruit is not really evident in my life. Fruit in the Bible means two things. One is the fruit of souls, and number one is the fruit of your character. But are these two things, is it evident that you are growing? Are people being reached, or at least someone being shared the gospel because of you? Are you changing in terms of your personality or character? Am I experiencing love, joy, peace according to the Holy Spirit? I say, Brother Johnny, I've always been an angry person. I've never changed in that. I've never been able to control my whatever. I've never been able to give up things in my life. And it could be it's time to start abiding in Christ. Because God says, without me, you can do nothing. Ministry leaders in our church, without Christ, you can do nothing. As a pastor, I can do nothing without Christ. You need Christ in your life. Say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me. Please pray for me that God will help me to abide in him. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see those hands everywhere. Anyone else? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray. Amen, I see that hand too. That hand too, I need Christ in my life. Put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. And then put it down and pray. Amen, I see that hand too. Fathers, next week will be a special day, but you need to abide in Christ for your family too. Anyone else? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Lord, I want to be fruitful. Amen. Just put a hand, put it down. I'll pray for you in a while, but you know you need to pray yourself. God, I want to be fruitful because if Christ died for me and rose again, I can serve him in my life with good fruit. Is there anyone else? If you are here today, you never heard that Jesus Christ died for you. Can I say this? We have people here that love you. Brother Jay, I'm sure his wife and my wife were able to share the gospel with you. But you know what? You yourself had to come to a decision and say, I'm lost. I don't know about Christ. I don't know what this Jesus you're talking about. But I want to know because I don't want my life to continue like this. Is there anyone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, if Jesus Christ came to save sinners, I believe I'm a sinner. I want to find out more about this Savior. Is there anyone like that who say, Brother Johnny, if I die right now, I won't be sure I'll be going to heaven. I want to be 100% sure. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you and get someone else to speak to you. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? Just put your hand and put it down. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Anyone else? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the two hands that have gone up. I ask, Father, that you impress in these little children their hearts. That, Father, thy will, Lord, will be done in their lives. That they might be saved at a young age and then for the rest of their lives they serve you. Father, I pray for those who are youth, those who have put up their hands. God, I pray today, Lord, I ask that you answer my prayer and answer the prayer of this church, Father, that in 10 years to come, their hearts will be so on fire for you, that, Lord, this church will change. Lord, the very face and countenance of ambassador will change because of what you will do today. I pray for everyone who has put up their right hand today and say, God, I want to be fruitful for Christ. Every father that has put up their hand, Lord, I pray that our family will change. That God, you will take control of this dad, and God, you will change him for your glory. Lord, I pray for every mom who has put up their hand. I pray that God, you will take her and use her in a mighty way in the teaching and nurturing of the children, that they may come to Christ. Oh, it is so true. We need to train up our children to serve God. I pray that our families will be servants of God. I pray for every youth who has put up their hands and say, Lord, I want to give my life that I might serve you. Lord, I pray 5 to 10 years from now, their lives will be entirely changed into the direction you have for them. I pray, Father, even for young adults who say, God, you take my life. I want to be fruitful as a Christian. Lord, I pray that you will use them in a powerful way, that in the leadership of the church or in the ministry outside of this church, Lord, I pray you'll use them powerfully. Lord, I pray for your blessings to be upon Ambassador Baptist Church, because we want to abide in Christ. That your word will be in our hearts and in our minds. And that, Father, whoever comes into contact with us, Lord, will have no choice but to be saved because of our testimony. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to do a powerful work in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And thank you for the encouragement through our missionary friends. And I ask them, you bless them richly too, Lord, as they try to reach the thousands who still need Christ. I pray you provide every need. I pray that you help them to guard their time in a way that will be honoring to you. I pray you protect them from illnesses and diseases, Father, on the field. I pray, Father, that every time they speak, Lord, every meeting they have, Lord, there will be a decision for Christ. Every time, Lord, our missionary friends would have a need, Lord, you meet it instantaneously, Lord. Or at least in a way, Father, that is within your will, that they know that you have answered their prayer. God, I pray that Ambassador, you speak to us in a clear way how you would like us, Lord, to help these missionary friends. So, Lord, I pray that your richest blessings will be upon us as we close. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing today. I know that you have a will for us today. I pray that no one would have left this, will be leaving this church that you haven't spoken to. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, because of for time, we